The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." We turn our attention again to the words of Mary as recorded in Luke chapter 1, the song labeled the Magnificat, reading this evening starting at verse 50. Mary said, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." The gospel. Christian history has made so much more of Mary than the scriptures. Now, don't get me wrong, God's word is very complimentary of Mary. And there really isn't anything in the gospels that would temper our admiration and respect for this young woman whom God chose to be the one through whom he would bring his only son into the world. And as we considered last Wednesday, Mary presents herself here in Luke chapter 1 as a sinner needing saving, who rejoices in God's intervention in her life and in her world, in human history. Mary marveled that God would choose her. She marveled over that choice. And it began to be a realization that in choosing her, a poor peasant girl from one of the most challenged regions of Palestine, instead of a princess from a palace of the powerful, that God was turning everything upside down. In fact, Mary highlights this counterintuitive activity of God in a number of places in her song. Mary clearly knew her Old Testament. Almost every line of her poem presents to us either a quote or a paraphrase of an ancient prophecy. Truly, the Holy Spirit inspired and guided Mary to put this song together, to sing these selections of joy as she magnified her Lord, as it tells us here. But Mary's use of prophecy in her song also reminds us very clearly that God's promises were not new and unique to Mary. The things for which Mary praised her God in these verses also played out and proved time and again the history of God's people. They're needing saving and God rescuing them. In fact, that history of Israel so very often left Israel at the end of the story in a position of humbled hope rather than exalted power. God worked the best of his saving miracles for them in the moments where, because of their foolishness and their rebellion and their wandering, they were left with no claim on a victory because of anything they had done, any of their choices, or the strength of their arm, or their courage, but rather God himself intervening and lifting up the lowly. We think of Joseph's brothers, the sons of Jacob, on their knees begging for their lives from their brother, not yet recognized by them because they had sold him into slavery. And God had allowed Joseph a very humble journey through that slavery and then even through prison before elevating him to be the chancellor of all Egypt. Think Gideon and how he dismissed so many of his brave fighting men until there was only a small group left to surround a formidable enemy and subdue them with shattered pitchers and blaring horns. Or a young shepherd boy named David, the anointed of God, who really embarrassed the heroes and the mighty fighting men of Israel. He put all of those champions to humbling shame as he made a declaration of the deliverance of his Savior God for all to hear as he approached that giant across the field, swinging his sling above his head. Whether it was lions' dens or fiery furnaces, we could list example after example that may have been on Mary's mind in these verses as she weighed God setting aside the powerful and the plentiful and chose the destitute and the downtrodden as she declares them in these verses to be rescued by God in her song. Where do you see yourself and your life in all of this? Are you amongst those of the clamoring crowd of our day elbowing their way to the front of the line for your 15 minutes of fame that seems to be promised you? Or do you spend some time regularly every few days looking yourself in the eye in the morning bathroom mirror, declaring to yourself, I am somebody. The world just doesn't know it yet. Mary would settle us down with the assurance that there is never a need for any believing child of God to exalt oneself or to feel neglected if not acknowledged by a fame-thirsty world, but just the opposite. In both her demeanor and her song here in these verses, Mary encourages every humble believer to simply trust, to live your godly, humble life, following God's will, and then stand at the ready. The day will come when every humble, properly pious soul that trusts in this Savior God to have that spirit-determined moment in the spotlight, a moment to shine. God lifts up the lowly. He exalts the humble. Even better will be the day when every humble believer who has waited on the Lord will be lifted up, will be exalted to share in the eternal glory of being made righteous by faith in God's promises, fulfilled in the deliverance made possible through the Son, which Mary praises God for here. But ultimately, Mary would not that far down the road have a day still coming that would be more humbling than she could have ever imagined, or that you and I, reflecting on it, can even begin to understand or comprehend. Could there be a more humbling, lowly moment for any human being than standing at the foot of her Son's cross as unspeakable humilities were perpetrated against him in the last hours and moments of his life? I don't think Mary could have known in this moment as she sang her song how humility would drag her down, crawling through the dust to still lower as she witnessed her Son's hellish experience of abandonment and suffering. Nor could she fully realize in this moment as she sang how her song to her Savior spoke of an exalting that would prove equally beyond her imagining. How just days after that death, she would stand to see with her own eyes again her beloved Son resurrected, having reclaimed his life again. standing free of his grave. Advent is all about waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Mary waited for many different things during those days between Gabriel's annunciation and the birth of her firstborn son. And as she waited, she was continually reminded of her humble status. Her waiting reminded her that God was in control and that God was growing in her a trust and reliance on his promises and his plans for her. Thank God that he led her to express this glorious song of praise, of adoration, magnifying our Savior God. This amazing song we sing so often that puts her thoughts of mind and heart together with the promises of ancient scripture. This inspired text reminds us so well. Especially in our humbled moments when we come face to face with the reality of our sins, our failures, our fatigue of being amongst the frequently downtrodden, to realize that we always have hope. There is always hope when God's powerful, eternal salvation is on our minds, on our hearts, and on our lips. We always have every reason, no matter the circumstance, no matter how humble the moment, to echo Mary's words with certainty, with hope, with joy. God always, always comes to exalt the humble. Let's stand together and sing this song of Mary once again as you find it printed at the bottom of the page.